You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
We'll get to Ron McGill in a second. We will get to funniest thing from the sports weekend before we get out of here today. Here is a quote, Stugatz, from Ted Cruz on the Ruthless podcast. He is talking about the group text leaker, because one of the many things that was funny about everything that happened with Ted Cruz, or as some people are calling him now, Fled Cruz, is that he was betrayed by somebody within his family, or within his family or close circle of friends, with his wife, who were on a group text. And I guess that was released to the New York Times. So he tells the Ruthless podcast, quote, "Here's a suggestion. Just don't be assholes. You know, treat each other as human beings. Have some degree, some modicum of respect." That is lacking in self-awareness in a way that is amazingly, amazingly absurd.
I'm familiar with that creature.
Well, yeah, but that is the, here's a suggestion, just don't be assholes, is basically the criticism that a whole lot of people, if you could put it in a couple of sentences, would lob at him and the things that he represents. Before we get to Ron McGill, though, and funniest thing from the sports weekend, our friend Dominic Foxworth, Stugatz, looks pretty good here in an exchange that he had with Jerry Richardson, the former owner of the Carolina Panthers before. What's that guy's name, Chris, that now owns the
Tepper,
the Panthers?
Tappers.
So the back and forth between them, Stugatz, between Richardson and Dominic Foxworth, when they were talking about the 17-game season, because we're back in a place here where we're looking at the possibility of a 17-game season, the possibility of more games, more greed, and the back and forth with Dominic Foxworth and Jerry Richardson is super interesting. We'll get to that as soon as we are done here with Ron McGill, and we have your questions for Ron McGill as well.
Wow, the rare tease, little Jerry Richardson tease before Ron McGill.
It's more of a Dominic Foxworth tease.
Oh.
And this is a, well, okay, it's not. Okay, yeah. Jerry Richardson tease. We will get to that because Dominic Foxworth looks pretty good in this exchange. But Ron, thank you for being with us. We will go around the Zoom here. Roy, what do you have for Ron McGill of Zoom Miami?
Two questions, Ron. In the entire animal kingdom, what group of animals are the best pack hunters, and what animal is the best individual hunter?
Well, I mean, when you go to pack hunter, it's got to be either the wild dog or the wolf. Those are two of the best pack hunters. I would almost go with the wild dog in the sense that I have watched them hunt in the wild, and they literally, they'll go into a huddle, They'll see a prey. They'll see like an antelope. They'll see an iguana, I mean, an impala. And they'll say, okay, we're going to get that. They get into a huddle, nose to nose. And then like all of a sudden they all go, great. And they go in different directions. And you wonder, why are they all going in different directions? Why are they chasing the antelope? Well, then the one animal chases the antelope. And what you realize is it's chasing that antelope to the next animal that's waiting to kind of pick up the relay. And then that animal picks up and it chases it to another animal. They station themselves along the way. So as they're constantly running this impala, they get new fresh legs where the impala is just getting more and more tired until finally the one animal can catch up to it. And then they all go in there and rip it apart alive. It's just absolutely phenomenal to watch. It's this incredible teamwork. It's like they've got this predetermined route that they're going to run that antelope to the next dog, run it to the next dog, pass the baton until the antelope just passes out, and then they tear it apart. So there's incredible planning there, incredible teamwork. Probably the most effective pack animal I've seen. Single hunter, God, you know, that can go to so many different types of predators. But I always want to give it to the leopard because of the strength of the leopard. The African leopard, I've seen an African leopard take down an antelope that weighs half again its own weight, twice its own weight. I mean, you'll take a leopard, take down an antelope, a leopard that weighs 125 pounds, 150 pounds, take down an antelope that weighs, you know, over 200 pounds, not only kill it, but then just by grabbing on the neck, take it up a tree, 20, 30 feet, just pulling it on its claws. It's got this thing in its head. Try to imagine, Roy, let's say you weigh 150, okay? Try to imagine just putting something 150 pounds in your mouth, holding it with a strap in your mouth, and then climbing a tree with it, and then locking it up on the top. Just an incredible predator.
Greg, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, I was surprised to learn that a polar bear is classified as a marine mammal. And I wonder, in your estimation, what is the most truly amphibious animal in terms of being equally adept on land and water?
Wow. No, that's a hard one. I don't think there's one that's really equally adept at both. You know, there are certainly turtles and lizards that are known to spend a lot of, you know, the Malayan water monitor could spend an awful lot of time in the water and, of course, be pretty, very effective on land. There are many turtles, of course, that can do both but need the water. So I don't know. I mean, a polar bear would be one that I would think of right away. I mean, because of the fact that though it is classified as a marine mammal, it's basically because it feeds on seals and that type of marine mammal out at sea, I believe that a polar bear could easily adapt to feeding on things like caribou or other land mammals, if and when the time comes that, you know, sea ice no longer exists and it has to adapt to survive. So I think the polar bear would be the best one as far as equally adept at both areas.
We were talking earlier about being surprised that Big Bird was a swimmer. What is something or many things from the animal kingdom that people might be surprised has the ability to swim?
The first one that comes to mind, and I think is a perfect example, it's the sloth. Look at a sloth. This is the slowest land mammal on Earth. It goes about 6 feet a minute on the ground, but is one of the most effective swimmers you could ever imagine. You know, they spend their life up in the trees, but they will transverse canals. I've seen a sloth cross the Panama Canal, swimming very effectively to get from one side of the canal to the other. So they are very good swimmers, but they don't look like, they look like anything but a good swimmer. You know, the other thing that are very good swimmers that people sometimes don't give enough credit for are all snakes. All snakes can swim really well. Some of them much better than others, but they can all swim really well.
Ron, as a follow-up to that, we were talking about the Muppets and Sesame Street earlier. Have there been any examples in like pop culture that you've seen of an animal or cartoon or whatever that was given these human-like qualities that really kids shouldn't think, oh my God, that's such a friendly animal, let me associate with that animal because of a movie? Where the kind of like the people that have put it out have been reckless in that they've endangered children by making these things seem lovable when they're not.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is a hippo. I mean, I don't know exactly which cartoon, but I've seen so many cartoons with hippos, you know, dressed in tutus and dancing, and they're happy, happy, and everything's happy, happy hippo. And I know everybody loves a hippo, and we all love Dan Le Batard the hippo. Don't get me wrong. That's a unique hippo. But generally speaking, hippos are the most dangerous animals in Africa. More people are killed and injured by hippos than any other animal on the continent. And a lot of that is because people don't take them seriously. They think this big, heavy, fat, gorgeous looking type of happy little chubby animal there is not going to do any damage. And those things can run faster than you could ever imagine, and they can bite you in half.
I saw a video the other day of an elephant taking the hat off of a woman, putting it in its mouth, and then sort of playfully giving it back to her as if he had eaten it. And I know you've told us how smart elephants can be, but what would be the greatest example of something like that that you have seen from an elephant to illustrate just how playful or human they can be?
Well, not necessarily playful or human, but just thought process. You guys can Google it. It's a very, very famous video. Google the elephant painting an elephant. It will blow your mind to see how this elephant paints kind of a self-portrait. It'll blow your mind. I mean, for me, to this day, that is something I look at with absolute awe.
Ron, what animal's got the smelliest shit?
I think we, oh, geez, we've spoken about this before.
You want me to ask it again?
Yeah, hold on. You know, hold on, Ron. He's being a wacky hijinks morning show.
Ron, what animal's got the smelliest shit? I can do it again if you'd like.
Yes, please.
Ron, what animal's got the smelliest shit?
I forget we're not on that other radio station anymore. Listen, it's a toss-up between several animals. As a group, I would almost go with bats. Bats have an incredibly strong ammonia-smelling type of feces.
That guano, am I right?
Well, that's pretty bad. But any of the carnivores, generally anything that eats meat has the smelliest feces. I mean, absolute the worst.
Oh, I hate shit.
I've been in a truck one time. I think I told you guys when I was moving a Komodo dragon, we were doing some type of presentation and the Komodo dragon just busted one loose in the back of the vehicle. And I mean, my eyes watered. Me and my partner, we had to stick our heads out of the window driving because we were gagging. We were throwing up into our mouths. And I don't do that. I don't have that reflex, gag reflex, but I did. I was like, it was so bad. And then, you know, when not just you can smell it, but you can taste it. You taste it in the air. It's so strong. It was awful.
Oh, I hate it when you jump up and down and you see something brown.
What the hell is going on over
there? Why am I laughing?
Chris, what do you have for Ron McGill?
Ron, I was down at Zoo Miami over the weekend. Nice zoo you got there, by the way.
And you didn't tell me you were coming, Chris? I cannot believe it.
I don't want to impose, but by the way, that chicken app at the Oasis Grill, mwah. Anyways.
Oh, no. I was here this weekend. As a matter of fact, I'm not going to say it because then Dan's just going to bust my chops.
It gave me the squirts.
So I saw that at the giraffe exhibit and the elephant exhibit, I noticed the trees in these exhibits are covered. In the giraffes, they have, it seems like a wiring around them. And then the elephants, it's like these big bars. Is that just keeping these animals from trying to get up on their hind legs?
No, what it is with the elephants, first of all, they will knock the trees over because elephants will eat the wood. I mean, they knock you. Elephants are what create savannas. Okay. The savannas you see in Africa are originally wooded forests and elephants create them. So they change environments. Any tree on their exhibit is fair game for them to knock over and kill and eat. So we have to protect those trees by doing that. With the giraffe, we put the wire close to the bark because giraffe will eat the bark. And you know, on any tree, if you eat the bark all the way around, you will kill the tree. Even if you make just a small 1-inch wide belt around, you remove 1-inch wide belt of bark from a tree, it'll kill the tree.
I bet elephant has some massive shits.
Another follow-up on the giraffes. So there's this long line of people waiting to feed the giraffes. Yes. And I see two giraffes up there eating. And I know it's lettuce, so it's probably like 0 points on the Weight Watchers diet. But do you ever get the giraffes just overly full and you have this long line of people and the giraffes are just like, I'm done, don't want to eat?
Yes, we do. And then just they have to either give back the money or they don't take the money in the first place. But it does get to a point sometimes where the giraffes say, I'm done. Thank you. Goodbye.
I hate it when you're stepping up a ladder and you feel something splatter.
Ron, the Bears were out. We were talking about this with the stock market. The Bears were out. Now the Bulls are out as the market is rallying. And it got us into a discussion. Who wins in a fight, bull or a bear?
Well, you know, it depends what bull and it depends what bear. If you're going to go with
Michael Jordan. Bear,
okay, listen, if you're going to go with the biggest bear and the biggest bull, it's the biggest bear. The bull is an omnivore. It eats grass. I mean, herbivore. It eats grass. It just is a plant eater. It might have some big horns to try to defend itself, but a bear is too fast. A bear is going to take down any size bull. The bear wins.
Who cares? Who cares about that? Who lays the bigger shits? Am I right?
What has this show digressed to, guys?
Ron, good talking to you. Thank you for being on with us. This is the laziest. That is the LeBron game tying jumper from last night in terms of radio laziness. Farts and burps. Oh, I pressed the wrong one. I'm sorry. That's a meow. Ron, good talking to you. Thank you for being on with us.
Always a pleasure, guys. Be safe. Take care.
See you, Ron.
Love shooting the shit. Oh, no. I had bad food last night.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
I saw legitimate shame on Mike's face on about the sixth one of those. Like, just like, what am I doing?
I encouraged him to keep going.
He just whispered in my ear, I'm enjoying it.
Oh, no, I mean, yeah. It's the show Stugatz wants to do.
What's random about that is I searched fart noise, and this says Mike Gundy fart noise. And I think he did a press conference where he made this sound at the end of it.
No.
Yeah.
That's a Mike, that was, no, so wait a minute.
We talked about it.
This was Mike Gundy? This was something, all right.
Yeah, that's how he like responded to a question.
That totally changes this entire thing. If I had known that was just Mike Gundy doing a raspberry sound. All right, that's excellent radio. Look at that. Look at Greg Cody. This has got to be, I don't know what it is, but I've got to think that you correct me if I'm wrong, Stugatz, before speech, is that the original humor? Is that ground zero right there for humor on where humor started?
Yes.
What's before that? Greg Cody, before people can speak. Before, what is before that on ground zero for humor, and why it is that you at 65 years old are still laughing at Mike doing the single laziest thing he's ever done around here? I'm telling you, when I looked at him after the fifth or sixth one, his head was in his hands because he was ashamed of himself.
I was laughing because every time he did it, it made me think of my childhood, where one of my favorite toys was a whoopee cushion.
Ah.
You would put the whoopee cushion under a cushion, and somebody would sit down, and it would make exactly that sound.
So let's get to this story before we get to funniest thing from the sports weekend. Let's get to this story here involving Dominique Foxworth that is coming out today, as you hear football going back to the idea of perhaps a 17-game season, and we're all here for more football games, more entertainment, except when you have to start considering the health consequences.
Less baseball, less basketball, more football.
Yeah, and that's where we are with this sport. The owners know that they've got a very good business model, and it doesn't appear, outside of that one time that they had to give back to the country $5 million because they had accepted money in exchange for patriotism, it doesn't feel like the NFL ever has much in the way of shame in terms of being greedy. So it's not surprising that Jerry Jones, during a pandemic, would raise prices on natural gas while his state freezes. And it is not surprising that these owners would try to milk as much out of these bodies as they possibly could. So Foxworth, this is the 2011 labor negotiations. Don Van Natta and Seth Wickersham do a very deep dive here. And this is worth your time if you like the business of sports, because it's an examination of where Demoris Smith has succeeded and where he has failed in being the players union rep over all these years.
Does anyone do more deep dives than Wickersham? I'm serious. Does he ever just put his feet in the water? I mean, just a toe in the water?
All right, Guillermo, put it on the poll. Does Seth Wickersham ever just put a single toe in the water, or does he always do deep dives? So here is Dominique Foxworth and a back and forth that came the last time they were arguing about 17 games. It's Dominique Foxworth lobbing this at Jerry Richardson, the former Panthers owner. We're not playing 17 games, Jerry, Foxworth told Richardson. It's not going to happen. We can make you, Richardson said, accurately characterizing the status quo under the 2006 CBA. We don't have to ask you. We're being nice by not saying, fuck you, you have to do it. Foxworth replied, we're being nice by not telling you, fuck you, we're not playing. Richardson replied, we're being nice by not telling you, fuck you, we'll play with replacement players. Foxworth replied, we're being nice by not telling you, fuck you, good luck filling up stadiums with Ryan Leaf at quarterback. And then this ends with Smith interjecting, Demoris Smith interjecting at one point, quote, that's a lot of f-yous, and then he adjourned the meeting. I think it's interesting, Stu Gatz, that Dominique Foxworth told us a long time ago that when he sat down with Jerry Jones, he assumed going in that Jerry Jones was smarter than he was, and then he talked to Jerry Jones for a while and was like, okay, this person's not actually smarter than I am.
Right. Very few people are, though. I think Dominique will learn that.
Well, but
quickly,
I think we
right?
I think we tend to overestimate pretty routinely the intelligence of the wealthy simply because they are wealthy. I think we
assign, there's an assumption you make that
well,
if they
no,
have
but
that
I think we assign a merit to that is linked to intelligence that I don't believe is accurate. You've heard me say before, I don't like the idea. I don't know if you know, Stu Gatz. Do you know anything about Yo-Yo Mayweather? Because the daughter of Floyd Mayweather has had a baby with NBA Youngboy, and she is a source of a great deal of people making fun of her and making fun of her intelligence and worried about the guidance of that grandchild of Floyd Mayweather because of the influences in his life. And I've always thought that Floyd Mayweather, while maybe not literate, because 50 Cent likes to tease him about not being literate, that Floyd Mayweather is very smart about, singularly smart about the thing that he's smart at. And to call these people dumb is to dismiss where their areas of excellence have some actual intelligence. But the reason that I brought up Yo-Yo Mayweather is because she is just getting hammered from every corner of the universe for basically being privileged because she comes from Floyd Mayweather's money. And Floyd Mayweather, you've seen how recklessly he spends. You see that you can make the argument for Floyd Mayweather being the single best businessman in sports that any of us have ever seen in our lifetime. But his daughter is a source of great mockery because she obviously has some of that hand-me-down money and people already don't like Floyd. And I can't think of a whole lot of people who are getting beat up more than she is on the internet these days just for being. What are you guys laughing about back there?
I think it's Yaya.
Is it?
Yeah.
And what was I calling her?
You made her a toy.
Did I?
Okay. A yo-yo.
I was surprised that I got NBA Youngboy right.
I thought Stu Gatz was going to think, wow, Trae Young.
Let's do funniest thing from the sports weekend.
It wasn't Trae.
Hey, people. Tell us what in the sport made you laugh hardest this weekend. It is a segment we call What Made You Laugh This Weekend. Ha, ha, ha.
Funniest thing for the sports weekend on a Tuesday is brought to you by Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations.
I have confirmed it is indeed Yaya Mayweather. Are you the only person in recorded history to confuse Floyd Mayweather's daughter with a world famous violinist?
It's a fine, right?
I think so. Also, I can only, for whatever reason, whenever someone introduces Yo-Yo Ma, I can only, the voice in my head is always Jim Nance. Famous violinist Yo-Yo Ma.
The whoopee cushion, Greg Cody, was invented in 1920. The whoopee cushion.
Damn right.
Chris, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
Steve Ballmer sitting under the hoop during the Nets-Clippers game, flailing his arms and legs, trying to distract free throw shooters from the Nets.
Billy, did he take yours? You're making faces like if that's the one.
I was so excited about Ballmer. I was going to do that.
That could be your choice. That could be your choice. What happened?
Steve Ballmer?
Yeah, what was so funny about it? Just that he's funny being roly-poly?
Well, let me try to remember how we do this. He exhibits the behaviors of a crazy person. I would say he somehow has a seat, what appears to be in play in these games. I don't know how it is that he's so close, but he appears to just be on the court in play and they just gets run around him. And then he just waves his arms around when there's free throws. And then when there's shots missed, he waves his legs like those car dealership arms that move around outside of a car dealership or whatever it is. I've never seen anyone move their legs that way, but he just leans back in his chair and his legs are swinging around everywhere, stomping on it. I've never seen anyone behave that way. It's insane. Or wait, it displays the behavior of insanity.
We don't have to play by those rules anymore. You can just say he's a crazy person. Those rules are somebody else's. Sued? You think you're going to get sued? You think Steve Ballmer is going to chase you down for calling him a crazy person?
He's a big listener of this.
Chris Cody.
He loves a whoopee cushion, right? He has to. Steve Ballmer loves a good one.
Just making fart noises.
I would love to see his reaction to someone sitting on a whoopee cushion. I can already visualize it in my head.
Steve Ballmer is an armpit farter for sure.
Absolutely.
What toy do you think
he doesn't like? I imagine him getting really upset when a slinky doesn't make it all the way down his grandmaster staircase in his house.
Chris, why didn't you get in there with your Mike Undy joke? What happened?
I don't know. You guys got me gun shy a little bit. I don't know. I just
really
mocked. Like, you know,
Mike.
I felt like everyone would have stared at me, and then I would have had to be like, "Cause underwear."
Would have been funny, man.
Greg, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
I know I probably shouldn't, but I just really got a kick out of Deion Sanders turning his post-game news conference into what he used it as a platform to just tell the world that he'd been burgled. And I still don't know what's happening with that, what the truth is, but I found it. I was laughing out loud when I saw that.
Robbed. He was robbed.
I also can't picture someone calling the police. Hello, I've been burgled.
Well, Deion. I want you to imagine Deion doing it.
I'd like to report a burglar. I've been a burglar. Just Deion walking into the room. Been burgled.
Roy, what was the funniest thing from the sports weekend?
The outdoor game between Colorado and Vegas in Lake Tahoe was postponed after the first period because of unplayable conditions because the sun melted the ice. This happened during a Colorado power play, and effectively, Vegas killed off a nine-hour power play.
They resumed the game at night 9 hours later, right? Mm-hmm. 9 hours later. That's so
restarted at midnight,
Stugatz, what do you have? Funniest thing from the sports weekend.
Dan, I don't know where this came from, but it's funny. Nobody in human history has ever sent a text message about the Bengals winning a playoff game. Why? Bengals' last playoff win, 1991. First text message ever sent, 1992.
Oh, wow. That's pretty good right there. So, Mike, do you have the sound? This isn't from the weekend, but do you have simply the sound of the LeBron James game-tying or trying to be game tying shot last night. One of the laziest finishes to a game. You've got to see this, Stugatz. You have to see how LeBron just didn't bother to get anywhere near anything that resembled a good shot. And just so it's as close as he will ever come to looking like he had no interest in going into overtime, that he had no interest in tying that game. And listen to the sound that the shot made, Stugatz, when it hit the backboard.
LeBron to tie.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.